Benvenuti ad Alma Lectio, il podcast dell'Università di Bologna dedicato alle Lectio Magistralis tenute da scienziati, intellettuali e personaggi illustri che nel corso degli anni sono stati invitati dall'Università di Bologna a condividere il loro sapere e contribuire alla divulgazione della conoscenza. Nella puntata di oggi ascoltiamo Emmanuelle Charpentier, biochimica, genetista, microbiologa francese e premio Nobel per la chimica nel 2020, che ha pronunciato la sua Lectio Magistralis sul sistema di editing genomico il 27 settembre 2024, nell'aula absidale di Santa Lucia dell'Università di Bologna, in occasione del conferimento della laurea d'honorem in scienze e tecnologie agrarie dell'Alma Mater. Buon ascolto!
So, dear Rector, Professor Giovanni Molari, dear Deputy Rector, Professor Simona Tondelli, dear Vice Rectors, dear Vice Rector, Professor Alberto Credi, dear Director General, Dr. Sabrina Lucarini, dear Professor Rosalba Lanciotti, Professor Silvio Salvi, Professor Roberto Tuberosa from the Department of Agricultural Sciences and Technology, and all members of the department, distinguished faculty, professors, researchers, and colleagues, dear students, graduates and undergraduate students, dear ladies and gentlemen. Today it is a great privilege and honor for me to receive an honorary degree in agricultural sciences and technologies from your university, the University of Bologna, the oldest continuously operating university in the world, and it is a pleasure to celebrate it with you. This supreme distinction mainly recognizes my work and that of my team and co-workers on the transformative gene editing technology, CRISPR-Cas9. This technology, commonly known as programmable gene scissors or the Swiss Army knife of DNA, makes it possible to precisely modify the DNA, genes, and genomes of living organisms. Let's consider the genome, both protein coding and non-coding, as a text. The series of genes as sentences, the genes as words, made of letters that define the code of life, the DNA bases. The CRISPR-Cas technology can search for a gene or a piece of DNA and modify the gene or, more precisely, the code of interest at will, just as a software program would search for a sentence, a word, or letter in a text to modify, correct, delete, or add a word or letters. It is a CRISPR-Cas technology that makes it possible to rewrite the code of life in a precise, versatile, and efficient way. CRISPR-Cas9 has become very fast a popular and versatile genetic tool to edit genes and their expression in all types of cells and organisms, from bacteria and plants to animal and human cells. Considered one of the most transformative breakthroughs in the life sciences, CRISPR-Cas9 has opened up unprecedented possibilities for medicine, agriculture, and many other fields, and hold great promise for numerous biotechnological and biomedical applications. Research into genome editing and the use of CRISPR-Cas has indeed revolutionized many areas of the life sciences, from microbiology, the study of microbes ranging from bacteria to viruses, archaea, yeasts, and fungi, to infection biology, immunology, cell biology, developmental biology, cancer and brain research, using research models ranging from flies, fish, mice, plants, human cells, and organoids. In the space of just 12 years, numerous scientific papers have been published on the development of the CRISPR-Cas gene editing technology, from version 1.0 to multiple subsequent versions that have improved the technology's specificity, efficiency, and versatility. Since the discovery of CRISPR-Cas9, a wealth of knowledge has been accumulated on the understanding of molecular and cellular mechanisms in a growing number of cells and organisms. In the agricultural sector, it offers new opportunities to grow safer plant crop varieties, better adapted to sustainable production systems, and more resilient to climate change. In fact, it also stimulates research aimed at a better understanding of the processes that govern plant resistance to drastic environmental changes, enabling us to better anticipate the crops to be developed for the future. There is an urgent need for the European Court of Justice to review the regulation of crops and plants modified by CRISPR-Cas, a technology enabling the production of clean crops so that they are no longer considered as conventional GMOs, genetically modified organisms, engineered using other genetic technologies. In the medical sector, gene editing using CRISPR-Cas is making a major contribution to the development of innovative therapies for cancer through cancer immunotherapy, and for hereditary diseases through gene therapy. Numerous screens have been developed in human cells, tissues, and organoids, and many edited human cells, tissues, and organoids have been generated with the aim of better understanding disease mechanisms, finding new targets for therapies, and developing more clinically relevant disease models for testing drugs and medicines in development, thus greatly benefiting research and development in the pharmaceutical industries, biotech companies, clinical and academic laboratories and institutions. The first concrete example of CRISPR-Cas9-based medicine to treat human genetic diseases is the first approved cell-based gene therapy, Casgevy, which uses the CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing technology to cure sickle cell disease, a blood genetic disorder, and was developed by CRISPR Therapeutics and Vertex Pharmaceuticals. CRISPR Therapeutics, based in Boston, which I co-founded over 10 years ago with Rodger Novak and Sean Foy. It's a great achievement for Rodger Novak, his teams at CRISPR Therapeutics, and later at Vertex Pharmaceuticals, who joined the effort to develop a cure for patients just 10 years after the discovery of the CRISPR-Cas9 technology. Scientists, developers, and clinicians celebrating their success, which began with an obscure research project in my laboratory, aimed in particular at understanding the role of small regulatory RNA molecules in bacterial pathogen, Streptococcus pyogenes, that causes disease in humans, and how this bacterium uses CRISPR-Cas9 to defend itself against virus attack. CRISPR-Cas is a perfect example of how fundamental research into what might initially have appeared as an obscure set of repeats in bacterial genomes first evolved into the discovery of an immune system in prokaryotic organisms, bacteria and archaea. In my laboratory, we first identified a novel small RNA molecule, tracer RNA, in Streptococcus pyogenes. We then understood that this tracer RNA molecule worked with the CRISPR-Cas9 system to enable the bacterium Streptococcus pyogenes to defend itself against viral attacks. We deciphered the tracer RNA CRISPR-Cas9 molecular mechanism, our work leading to the exploitation of this natural mechanism as a powerful technology, the gene scissors. Long-life fundamental research, always at the origin of technological, medical, and other innovations. Long-life publicly funded research, universities like the University of Bologna, and institutions that tirelessly support teachers in training the next generation of scientists and researchers in their quest for knowledge and curiosity for a better world. The last 12 years, I've seen the creation of new scientific journals dedicated to research on the bacterial CRISPR-Cas systems and research using the CRISPR-Cas technology. Numerous inventions based on the CRISPR-Cas technology have been patented worldwide. Numerous research groups and laboratories focusing on the development of the CRISPR-Cas technology and its applications, as well as on the understanding of CRISPR-Cas systems in bacteria and the discoveries of new defense systems, have been set up. The world of scientific communication has also been interested in CRISPR-Cas from the very beginning of its development, and numerous articles have been written in the media and discussed on radio and television. Numerous conferences focusing on research using CRISPR technologies have also been organized. The discovery of CRISPR-Cas has also made its way into biology textbooks, and students as young as 12 years old have heard about CRISPR-Cas at school. telling you about my scientific journey could take a whole day. But what I can tell you today is that along the way, many places and people have shaped my life and my research. My research on CRISPR-Cas9 began with my team at the University of Vienna in Austria, then at the University of Umeå in Sweden. Mobility has played an essential role in my career and has been a process of self-improvement. I left France for the United States. I lost part of myself, but I gained something new. I left the US and moved to Vienna. I kept the best of the US and left the rest. Then I moved to Umeå, where most of the CRISPR project was developed. Today I am in Germany, still fighting for my vision and simply to find a place for myself in a German institution. New positions always come with new challenges. It is always a fight, but a fight for such a good cause, science. Although it is not easy, it is important to find the right balance between being true to yourself and respecting and integrating into the new environment. By doing so, you will be able to draw on and be receptive to new ideas. A few iterations of this cycle, five in my case, and you end up with a core or essence of yourself that is imbued with your experiences. It helped me to become aware of my fundamental values as a person and as a scientist. I think all of us here understand that the values of mobility and diversity go beyond the benefits to the individual. Scientific research around the world, including our research that led to the development of the CRISPR-Cas9 genome engineering technology, benefits enormously from international exchanges, whether in the form of young visiting scientists or international collaboration. These exchanges bring fresh ideas, new perspectives, and different ways of approaching problems, all of which are catalysts for the innovation that is helping us to tackle global challenges such as climate change, cancer, and infectious diseases. Perhaps more subtly, these interactions show us that despite our differences in culture, ethnicity, and nationality, the reasons why we work together far outweigh those that might drive us apart. In these uncertain post-truth times, when the fundamental values of science are under threat, I think it is crucial that all countries keep an open door to international scientists, especially those from countries where mobility is necessary. To the new generations, be inspired and be a source of inspiration for those who follow you. Be persistent, tenacious, curious, passionate, and keep yourself well informed. Have the courage to take risks and turn your failures into new motivation to do better next time. Every challenge you encounter along the way will force you to reflect on yourself. It will broaden your vision of things and teach you something new about yourself. That is what makes challenges such a valuable experience. For me, it has been a process of self-improvement. Science is experiencing an unprecedented growth due to the development of technologies that are themselves the fruit of science. Science and technologies, through innovation, is so powerful, offer and will continue to offer the solutions to the challenges that we are currently facing for a more sustainable agriculture, to protect the environment and feed the planet, for water for all, for one health for all, and for more peace. We need a new generation of talented, enthusiastic, and ambitious people to tackle the many issues that are yet to be addressed. I would like to share this recognition with my former and present team members and colleagues who have supported me during my career. The prize recognizes hard work and dedication of a team of young researchers with whom I have worked in a very cheerful, enjoyable, and dynamic environment. To name a few who have contributed to the work awarded today, Maria Eckert, Elitsa Delcheva, Christoph Schilinski, and Martin Jenak. I acknowledge my colleagues who have joined me on the CRISPR-Cas9 journey and who have trusted my guidance, hypotheses, ideas, and interpretations, visions, and wishes in this project, which I have conducted mainly in Austria, Sweden, and then Germany. My personal achievements recognized by this award would also not have been possible without the institutions that enabled me to set up my laboratories and develop my research projects, and without the founding bodies in Austria, Sweden, and Germany that generously provided financial support for my project ideas. With that, I would like to thank again my colleagues here at the University of Bologna for this great honor, and I thank you.
Avete ascoltato la Lectio Magistralis di Emmanuel Charpentier sul sistema di editing genomico, pronunciata il 27 settembre 2024 in occasione del conferimento della laurea d'onore in Scienze e Tecnologie Agrarie dell'Alma Mater Studiorum. Vi aspettiamo alla prossima Alma Lectio!